Hi everyone, welcome back to Sashay Away with Barry. It is 10:23 here in New York City, and I'm not gonna lie, I have had a few cocktails. All right, I'm not gonna lie, I'm a little drunk. I went out after work with some friends. We had a very, very lovely time drinking it up, and Drag Race was being shown at one of the bars that we attended. Actually, it was showing at both of them, but we left before one started and moved on to a second bar. So we got to watch the episode somewhat live with a local drag queen, Skywalker, at Barracuda, my favorite bar in New York City. Shout out to my bartender, Joshua. I love him very, very much. And I patronize his bar whenever I can. If you're in New York City, go to Barracuda. It's on 22nd Street between 7th and 8th, very close to 8th Avenue. It is a standard here in New York City. It was once a dive bar. I don't consider it that anymore. They did some renovations. They have a new air conditioning system and a new bar, bar top. And they now take credit cards. It used to be cash only, but now they take credit cards. So please go to Barracuda, go during happy hour, and say hello to Josh whenever you can. He is my favorite bartender in the city, and I adore him. But I'm not here to sell Barracuda to you. You can go there anytime you want. I'm here to talk. Oh my God, excuse me. I'm here to talk about RuPaul's Drag Race, All-Star 6, Episode 5, Pink Tabletop. That is the name of the title of the show. I'm going to mess up a lot of shit because I am a little drunk. I'm drinking some Diet Coke, though. So hopefully that'll get me through it. We'll see. Anyway, the title of the show is Pink Table Talk. People seem to know what this is. I don't know what this means. It was a talk show kind of feel to it. Other people know what it is. I don't. But it was very talk show. I expected something different from what we got. But basically what they're doing is they were supposed to be vulnerable and emotional on this episode and to be their real selves and not their drag characters, which I think is very weird for a drag show, but great for a reality show. So again, we're kind of straddling that line between drag show, reality show, drag competition, reality show. And this one was definitely more reality show than drag competition, in my personal opinion. We said goodbye to Yara Sophia last week. I was sad to see her go. I don't think she should have been in the bottom two. She's one of my favorite queens on this season. And I still don't know what this game within a game is, but if there is really someone coming back, I hope that is Yara Sophia. I don't know that it will be, but I'm hopeful. I listened to a podcast today where she told us that her Snatch Game character, I forgot who it was. Oh no, I didn't. Was going to be LaToya fucking Jackson. Genius that she was going to be doing LaToya Jackson. It would have been insanely funny. And so I'm desperately hoping that we get to see this at some point. Maybe she will do a LaToya Jackson impersonation on her Instagram if we don't get to see it. But I really, really want to see Yara Sophia being LaToya Jackson, because her Amy Winehouse on season three. Was she three? Yeah, season three. Was insanely funny. It had nothing to do with Amy Winehouse other than her look. I couldn't understand a word she said, and it just made me howl with laughter. I thought she was one of the best ones that season. So there you have it. We'll miss Yara Sophia. I want her back. I don't think she's going to be coming back. But I hope she does, honestly. I still don't know what this game within a game is. If you know, great, don't tell me. I want to know when the show happens. I hate spoilers. I just hate them. Please don't put spoilers in any comments. Let's get into this episode by sharing my screen with you, because we got a lot to chat about. We find out that all of the queens picked Yara, except Yara, who picked Akiria. And The winner of the episode, Jan, also picked Akiria. She seemed very confused by this. I think this was inevitable happening because during Untucked last week, we saw who everyone picked, but they didn't show us who Jan picked. I think it was supposed to be suspenseful, but that, to me, that only said, obviously she picked Akiria. Otherwise, they would have shown it. She's worried now because she thinks that track record doesn't matter, and that people are just voting on their feelings and where they... She honestly thought everyone was going to send Akiria home, is what she said. Clearly, that did not happen. Everyone picked Yara. So Jan has put herself in a little bit of a pickle, if you ask me. And she feels that way as well. Scarlet Envy tells her, you don't have to justify who you picked for. You just have to own it. You picked this person. That's all there is to it. There's no hard feelings. But it seemed like Akiria might have had a little bit of hard feelings when it came to her name being picked. But it didn't matter. Jan didn't win the lip sync. So Akiria is still there to slay another day. There you have it. This is, I'm sure, setting up something going forward, but we will see how that plays out. The queens are being put into teams this week. They get to pick their own teams. Our first team is Trinity K. Bonet, Eureka, and Akiria C. Davenport. Second team is Ginger Minz, Jan, and Pandora Box. And our final team is Kylie Sonique Love, Rajati O'Hara, and Scarlet Envy. I love that no one is looking at the camera at all during these. But these are our teams for the Pink Table Talk. They are going to have to choose between topics of body, motherhood, and sex. And this is how it breaks down. Let me go back. Because this team of Akiria, Trinity, Eureka, they choose sex. No one fights them for it. That's the way it is. Ginger and Scarlet both wanted motherhood because Ginger is, I don't know if she's in the process of it or they're just contemplating it, but in the process, in about surrogacy and becoming parents, she and her husband, whose wedding I did attend at DragCon NYC with Michelle Visage officiating. And I was in the audience when it happened. So they are in the, I'm going to say they're in the process of surrogacy. That could be completely wrong, but that's what it felt like she was saying. But Scarlet Envy also wants it because she has two moms. So she wants to talk about that. So they flip for it. Ginger loses and they get stuck with body. And then this third team of Scarlet, Raja, and Kylie do get motherhood. That's all there is to it. We see the taping of the show. I wish we could have seen more because during the critiques, you hear them talking about more things that we didn't get to see. So I know they're probably not going to release the full footage of it, but I would like to actually hear them because I like hearing these personal things from the queens. But I don't think we're going to get that. But it felt like they were talking about more than we actually saw on the screen. Our first pink table talk is blah, 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 sex. And it's with Eureka, who is going to be our moderator, Akiria C. Davenport, whose outfit I do not like. I hate these sleeves. And Trinity K. Bonet, whose wig I also don't like because she has this crazy obsession now with these hard parts in the middle, and I don't appreciate them at all. However, their talk was actually really good. Trinity talked about her HIV positive status and sex, which is very, very important, that there's still a stigma. I'm going to say right now that you should watch Untucked if you haven't watched it. I just finished watching it. And the talk between Trinity, Akiria, Eureka, and Ginger is really fantastic. Because Trinity talks, Eureka, I keep saying their names wrong, I'm sorry. Eureka goes in more about Trinity being HIV positive, and she wished she would have asked more questions during the talk about it. And it is very important because there is still a stigma behind it. PrEP is out there. Trinity says she's undetectable. That means she cannot transmit it. And people, I think, are just uneducated about it, or maybe just still wary about it, which is valid. But the science is saying that you're undetectable, you're untransmissible. So please believe the science. Do not put stigma on HIV positive people. I have many friends who are HIV positive, and it. My thought for you is to educate yourself. You have to do the research. You have to do the education yourself, because if you don't, then you're just taking someone else's word for it. And if that's not enough for you, then you need to find out for yourself. I jumped ahead. I can't look at this picture and talk about it. Akiria talked about how she lived her life as a transgender woman for a while, and then realized that she was not a transgender woman and now lives her life as a man, as a drag queen. This is fascinating to me. She does get more into this during Untucked as well. And gender roles are a very hot topic right now. Don't get me wrong. They are all we talk about. We talk about pronouns. We talk about gender roles. We talk about being non-binary. We talk about trans. We talk about cisgender people. It is fascinating to me. And it also hits home. Because I grew up and there were times in my life that I wanted to be a girl. I know that I did. And now that I am a fully realized person, I know that I am a cisgender man. I like being a man. I am a man. I am not a transgender woman. I am not non-binary. If you look at it in old school terms, this is going to be a very triggering word for you, some of you, so don't jump out of your screens. I am a cross-dressing person. I like to wear women's clothing. But I know that I am a man. I don't want to be a woman. I don't feel like a woman. That's it. So this story was really, really important to me. Again, watch Untucked. It is really, 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 really good and important to watch. They have this furry pink box moment. They do these with all of them. In this furry pink box were this weird thing. And apparently it was a facial exerciser. Sorry, I had to scroll up to see what the actual term was. And I don't know what it does or what it's supposed to do, but it really just looks like prosthetic lips to me once they put it in their mouth. That's why I took this picture of the screenshot. It is terrifying. Overall, they did a great job. Eureka was a great moderator. Trinity and Akiria had really, really great things to say on their points as well. No one talked over each other, which I really appreciate. And they did a great job. Our next group is Kylie Sonique Love, who is going to be our moderator. This is the motherhood topic. She is our moderator. Scarlett Envy is going to talk about her two moms. And Raja D. O'Hara is... She doesn't have the D in this, I don't know why. But Raja D. O'Hara is going to talk about her relationship with her mom, which is not the best. Yeah, there you go. They're talking about motherhood. This one was the weakest of them. If they were judged as a group, this would have been the bottom group, obviously. They weren't judged as groups. We will find out in the end. But I just didn't enjoy it. Kylie as the moderator was a bad choice. They talked about it back in the workroom and she said that Scarlett kind of felt like Scarlett wanted to take over the moderator role, but didn't want to just take it away from her. Yeah, it was a weird, tense situation. And I don't know if it was the way that it was edited or if it's the way the tone of Scarlett's voice, but it made Scarlett out to be kind of the bad guy in the situation, almost to where she didn't think that Kylie could pull it off. But they went ahead with it anyway, and it failed. Kylie could not pull it off. honestly. To me, she was the weakest one of this group. Scarlet Envy told her stories. The judges, when they critiqued her, said that they didn't like her flipping in and out of her character. They wanted her to be more personal the whole time. I don't agree with this. These are drag queens. Their drag persona is a character. It's where the reality and the drag competition skew each other. So I didn't agree with their critiques of her. I thought she was fine. I know that she's not naturally a super funny person. Her humor is very dry, and I think that's where it came off as her trying too hard to be the character and almost like breaking out of her natural self. Raja was fine. I didn't think she was exceptional. I thought she was fine talking about her mother, her issues with her mother coming from a religious background and all being a femme boy. I don't think she said femme. I think she said flamboyant boy. And that they're working on their issues. That is what they wanted from this challenge. And so Raja gave them what they wanted. Again, I think this was the weakest group of them. Because they, in their pink box, I don't know what it is. They had a citrus reamer. Scarlett thought it was a butt plug. It looked like a butt plug, but I knew that it was a juicer kind of thing. And that is what it was, a citrus reamer. It's kind of dumb. It looked like a butt plug. Our final group is Ginger Min. She was the moderator of our group for the body topic. Pandora Box and Jan. Jan is perplexing to me. I like to cheer for my New York queens. I've never been a super, super Jan stan. And this made me not like her. I thought she was way, way too much in this episode. I know that she wants to say that her personality is 110%, but she can't be that all the time, Jan. That wasn't this challenge. I think Eureka said it, that wasn't this challenge. It was this challenge, they wanted to know the person behind the drag kind of thing, and not the drag character. I kind of almost wish they would have done it out of drag and just had it as talks, but that is not what this show is, even though that's what this challenge was. They were talking about bodies. So we had Ginger, who was the moderator. She talked about being short and fat and being reminded that online by people, which is a true thing. It happens all the time. I have been called fat and old in the comments of these videos in the past. And I don't care. I am fat. I am old. I still have opinions. Drag Race, in my opinion, is for my generation. I know that it hit the demographic has skewed tremendously younger, whiter, cisgendered female. And that is what they are playing to. That is their audience. Great. Drag is for me. Whether I'm 102, whether I'm 22, drag is for me. I love drag. I'm going to keep watching. I'm going to keep talking about it. Jan annoys me and annoyed me a lot this episode. Pandora Box, I thought was fine. I was worried for her at first because it felt like they weren't even giving her any airtime. But I think that, again, it was an editing choice and we didn't get to hear a lot of what she said, but she talked about being an older queen, being an older gay person. She is kind of in this limbo where she was a twink when she was younger. Now she's older, but she's still thin. She doesn't have the dad bod. She's not a daddy, clearly. So she's kind of in this no man's land and doesn't know where she fits in this body type of image. So I thought that was important. I wish we could have seen more of that. But I also felt like Jan talked over her and Ginger a little bit. And so that's where I think Jan failed in this episode. In their pink furry box, they had this crazy thing that no one knew what it was. It was this weird cylindrical latex thing. And apparently it was an eye stimulator. to remove like bags under your eyes. I kind of want to try it out because I have bags, girl. I'm out of bags. So I kind of want to try it out because I'm fascinated by it. I'm sure it's not really a working thing, but I'm interested in it. That's what I'm going to say. On the runway, we have RuPaul in this yellow gown, which I think is a gorgeous color. This is the first time RuPaul is not wearing a blonde wig on the runway for All-Star 6. She is in this pink big number. I think we have seen this wig before, if not something very, very similar to it. But I think she looks great in it. I think this is a good look for her. I love it. I love the color of this gown as well against her skin. It is beautiful. Our guest judge is Aisha Taylor, who I also love. I am currently rewatching all of Friends on HBO Max, and I am up to the episodes with Miss Aisha Tyler. And so I am loving that she popped up on this episode. I love that she started out in this mask and then she did a reveal like Sasha Velour with the petals coming out of the mask. So funny, so iconic. Drag Race loves when you reference it. So bravo to Aisha Tyler. I'm happy to see her on my screen. The category for the runway was Clash of the Patterns. When RuPaul said it at first, I thought she said Clash of the Pageants. So I thought we were going to get all pageant gowns. And then Trinity comes out in this and I was like, what? And that's not a gown. But it is Clash of the Patterns. And I think this look is lovely. I don't really love her makeup, specifically where she painted her head yellow at the top. I think the makeup from her nose down is gorgeous and very Afrikaans, which is the look she's going for. It's the makeup above that I don't like. I don't know that this is a clash of patterns. It looks like one pattern to me with some black fabric. So I don't know that it fits the assignment, but I think it's lovely. Next we have Eureka O'Hara, and this is Clash of the Patterns. Is it good? No. It is a clash of the patterns, so it is the assignment. I have a lot of problems with a lot of the runway this week. But to me, these patterns don't work together. We just had a season where a queen whose name has now escaped me. Oh my God, what is her fucking name? She made the sleeping bag dress and she was wonderful. But she knew how to put patterns together that should not go together, but worked amazingly. Please someone comment in the names because it's not coming to me at all. I'm going crazy. But she knew how to put patterns together that shouldn't go together. This does not go together. So I guess technically it is Clash of the Patterns because these patterns do clash. But to me, it's a big eyesore where I think the Clash of the Patterns should work together. But it's not bad. Next, we have Akiria. She went a totally different route and went with a mannequin dummy. I do love her little prop with the pin cushion. She did, oh my God, now I'm thinking it. I told someone tonight, I was like, she did this look on her season, but it may not have been her. Now I can't remember. Someone else commented below about this. Didn't she do a... It might have been a plastic surgery bodysuit, but the same type of thing. This one is a little more elevated. There's no clash of the patterns. She's a mannequin dummy. There's no pattern to it. So I feel like she needed to have like dress patterns on her if she was going to do this. So I don't buy it. Raja D. O'Hara is giving us also Afrikaans. I think this one is a good representation of Clash of the Patterns. She did it right. I love the head wrap. I love the shrug. I love the top. I don't like pants. I don't like when she wears pants, I should say. She wears pants a lot. I get that. That is her thing. I don't like it when she wears pants. I wish it was a skirt that went to the floor. I think it would have been really, really cool if it was like a layered skirt in these alternating fabrics of the fabric of the front and the panel on the side, if they were alternating. I think that would have been spectacular. Does she look bad? No, this So far, this is my favorite one of Clash of the Patterns, but I just wish it wasn't pants. That's all. Kylie Sonique Love is not clashing at all. She's wearing leopard with some blue and red. Where's the Clash of the Patterns? They praised her for this look, and I don't, it's leopard. There's no clash. I don't get it. I don't get the raving over this outfit. Scarlet Envy, she is clashing patterns, but this is a gorgeous dress to me, but it's not very clashy. And not very patterned. There's too much white. I realize it is love letters from her parents that she lithographed onto fabric, which is a lovely, lovely story. But there's not much clash to the patterns to me. If they were different colors, maybe, if they were different shapes, I don't know. There's not, again, I told you I don't like this runway. I did not enjoy this runway at all. So there you have it. It's a great dress. Of the dresses that have come out, this is the one I would want to wear because I think it's a beautiful dress. I think the fact that it is those letters is super special. So I'm glad she got to show that, but I don't think it's a Clash of the Patterns category. Jan, fail. This is a miserable look to me. It is kind of ugly. If you want my truthful statement, they liked her wig with these heart prints in the back. You can't really see them too much here. It's kind of like a polka dot print, but in heart shapes. This dress is ugly. It's not a clash of patterns because it's the same. The clash of the patterns is in the are in the bags that she's carrying. And that's not the assignment. Maybe that's why she decided to carry them. I don't know. I hate these chaps. I hate them with those stockings. I hate the shoes. This look is awful. My least favorite look of the runway. And then there's Ginger Minj. This is a clash of patterns. It is all leopard, but all in different colors. It's ugly. It's not attractive. It does not work. I think it's really, really kind of bad, honestly. I just don't want to look at it. I have such negative opinions about this runway. I'm sorry. Next, we have Pandora Box. She's giving us a little bit Nightmare on Elm Street. Nightmare on Elm Street. Oh my God. Nightmare Before Christmas with this look. And her patterns, I actually like the clash of them. They are patterns that should not go together, but they actually look really cool together. So I think she did one of the best jobs on this runway. I do feel like it's a little costumey because it is so much Nightmare Before Christmas, but I like it. And I will say she looked really great in this. Her face when she walked out was almost unrecognizable. She looked really, really good. So I think she had one of the most successful ones out there, even though it was a little costumey. Trinity, Eureka, and Akiria, we're told they had the best pink table talk. I had to look back to see what it was actually called. Pink table talk. However, they were not the winners. They just had the best ones and they are all safe. Also safe are Rasha and Pandora. Fair enough. But Ginger Minj was the winner. I didn't even take a picture of her, I don't think. Ginger Minj was the winner. And Jan, Kylie, and Scarlett are our bottom three this week. We have a bottom three, not a bottom two. I don't know why. Just because they felt like doing it, I guess. I honestly don't think that Scarlett should have been in the bottom. I don't think hers was as bad as they played it out to be, but I believe that is just storytelling of the show that she was in the bottom. She seemed very heartbroken that she was put there, but these are our choices. They're all up for elimination. Ginger Minj comes out in her lip sync outfit. She changed. I'm going to say it right now. This is the best outfit Ginger Minj has had on All-Star 6. That's all there is to it. This is her best look so far. She saved it for a lip sync. Her wig line, when you look close up, is a little suspect. But that's besides the point. I think the outfit is really, really good. We get a gag of the season, and that is Bianca Del Rio as the lip sync assassin. Akira Davenport said it best, that said they are playing with that word assassin. If Bianca Del Rio is assassin, she never lip synced on her season. she never had a lip sync, and that's the way it is. But it was just a gag. She was just there to throw things off and have a good laugh. She eventually tells them that she's just there to use the restroom and then walks off the stage. It was really funny. Our real lip sync assassin is Mayhem Miller. I love Mayhem. She is one of my favorite queens. Did she do great on Drag Race or All Stars? No. She is an exceptional, exceptional drag queen. I love her very, very much. I'm so happy that they brought her back for this. When they brought her out, I knew that Ginger Minj was going to win this lip sync. Although Mayhem is a great lip syncer, I was like, this is just kind of a setup for Ginger to win. They are lip syncing to Phone by Lizzo. This is a drag queen staple. It is a ridiculous song that is so much fun. It is a number that I would do myself because it is just absurd. And that is what we got from these two. It was just insanity on the stage. And I think they both did a great job. Ginger was victorious, of course, as I just kind of said, hinted at, and wins the $30,000 rollover tip. Yeah, I don't know. This show is so rigged and crazy that it was fine. I mean, she was great at the lip sync. I'm not going to deny that. I thought Mayhem was equally as funny in lip sync. But you know, you've got to give the money away eventually. You can't roll it over forever. Otherwise, the lip sync winner is going to win $100,000 and then the winner of the show is going to win $100,000. So there you have it. Ginger Minj wins. Our bottom three is Jan, Kylie, and Scarlett. And Ginger gets to select the lipstick that she chose. We don't get to see who the queens picked, but we do it Untucked, if you watch Untucked. And Ginger picks Scarlett, of course. She is friends with Jan. I think Kylie was safe in everyone's personal opinion. No one was gonna vote for Kylie. It was between Scarlett and Jan, and she picked Scarlett because Jan is her friend. And so we have to say goodbye to Scarlett. But wait, there's a game within a game. I like Scarlett so, so much. I had the pleasure of talking with her for about a half an hour one night at a club, and she was lovely. So please do not discredit her. Do not think she is a bitch. Do not think she is the villain. She is a lovely person, and I appreciate her very much, and I don't think she should have been in the bottom this week to be sent home, but they put her in the bottom because their plan was to send her home, and that is what happened. Next time on RuPaul's Drag Race, we have an acting challenge, and it is the Ru American Horror Story Coven Girls, like Cover Girls, but Coven Girls. Coven is my favorite season of American Horror Story still. Because it is super campy and super ridiculous. I hope that is what we are going to get. I know in the previews we got some information that is 99% misdirect, I am sure, but it showed Kylie and Raja both struggling. Trinity was stuck in there, but I think the struggle was with Raja, not Trinity. I could be wrong. Like I said, usually they are all misdirects. Who knows? I don't know, maybe those two are the worst and they just need to get rid of Kylie, so that's why they put Raja there. I don't know. If I was the person in the voting, I would vote Raja out because right now, she is the front runner. But that, again, is just my opinion. I'm gonna say it again, watch Untucked if you can. It was by far my favorite Untucked of the season. There hasn't been much drama in Untucked, so they've been kind of boring. This one is an important conversation about non-binary and trans people. And you get to hear from Mayhem Miller and say that whoever's queen's lipstick she has, she's going to take them out to dinner because she's been in that same place, so she knows how it is. big shout out to Mayhem Miller. I love her. I appreciate her. I think her drag, she is drag excellence. She's not great on Drag Race, although I think her time was cut short her season. She kind of gave up on All Stars, so I'm not going to go into that. But I think she is drag excellence and a queen for all ages. Love her, love her, love her. That's all I have to say. I hope it was coherent. Again, I have been out drinking. I'm not going to lie, I had a lot to drink. And so I hope it made sense. I tried to say my appealing opinions. I was very truthful because, you know, that's what alcohol does. It makes you tell the truth. I thank you all for watching and listening. However you are getting these, if you are just listening on the podcast, you can watch the videos on YouTube at BHBrown13. That is my YouTube page, or you could just search Sashay Away with Barry and they will all come up. Or if you are watching this and don't want to look at me, that's fine. You can listen to them on any podcast platform that you get podcasts. It is all out there. It is broadcast on 8 different platforms, so you can find it wherever you get your podcasts. If you want to follow me on Instagram, it's Sashay Away with Barry. We toot and boot the looks every week, and we will be doing so again this week. I will be putting them out, I was going to say tonight, but tomorrow morning. It's 11 o'clock. Here in New York City, and I just want to go to bed. I had a lot of drink. I told you that. So you can catch them tomorrow. They should be up in the morning sometime between 8 and 9, I would say. Let's say 9 and 10, in case I can sleep in. I don't have to work tomorrow, so I don't have to get up. So look for them tomorrow on Sashay Away with Barry. Follow me on Instagram, and you will find them in my Insta story, Toot and Boot. Those results will come out when we do the Toots and Boots video. That is with Roger and David, usually on Monday or Tuesday. I would say like a Tuesday, but maybe Monday. We'll see. Who knows? Or you can find them on my website, which is Sashay Away with Barry. That is where the results are posted as well. Please be safe out there. Get the vaccine if you are able. This Delta variant is taking over. It is infecting people who have been vaccinated already, but your symptoms and chance of hospitalization or death is tremendously less. So please get the vaccine if you're able to. Wear a mask. I know we are past this wearing a mask, but wear a mask if you have to. Just be safe. Be kind to each other. This is a way for us to get past this. We are trying to break out of this. It just keeps coming back. And I want you all to be safe and happy. I love you all. Have a good night. Bye-bye.